welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome back to a dual broadcast with the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and the Everything Church Related Podcast. Today, we're concluding our interview with our guest, Dr. Richard Ruling. He's an expert on Bible prophecy, especially with the end times that we're in right now. And we're doing some question and answer. We've been doing this on some of the most misunderstood scriptures or misinterpreted scriptures by pastors. And we're getting some great insight in this. And now at the end of the questioning, I'm going to shift gears. You hear me shift gears to discuss the increased earthquake activity going on right now. And we also relate it to the volcano going on in Hawaii. And we talk a little bit about the Yellowstone Basin that is beginning to rumble a little bit. And if that thing should blow, we are through as a nation. Our economy would go straight in the tank because the breadbasket of America would disappear. We're going to be talking about all these things. Let's jump right back into the interview with Dr. Richard Ruling. Amen. Okay. Well, what about the next one where it says, I never knew you? I mean, you know, not everyone comes to me and all that.
Okay, this is not amnesia on part of Christ. He knows everybody, okay? But it's the key is the word genosko, which means marital love or covenant love. Right. They were never in a covenant, okay? And I believe we're coming to a time when God is going to, those who are ready for a covenant, when he says open immediately, I believe, by the way, each wedding parable has a different thing that emphasizes and a truth that if we get the message from that parable and integrate them all, we get a full picture. But the wedding feast, and we've already said that the wedding parables have Passover imagery, so that's the time. And if there's a wedding feast, when you're inviting them to a feast, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, who wants to go to a feast of crackers?
Right.
You know, no wonder it's scorned or ridiculed. But really, it's not about crackers. We have to be thinking spiritual, and Christ said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, speaking of their doctrines. And so this is, the church leaders have leavened the bread. They said, you don't need to do Passover, you know. And it's just, and if you're Catholic, you just come every week and get a wafer, you know. As if, but really, they have leavened the bread, you know. And if once a year, though, we should be serious and meditate. And I believe that those annual holy days or Sabbaths were designed to teach truths in the plan of salvation. And once a year, when he says watch, means be awake, and we can't be awake every night. It would be unfair for Christ to ask us to be awake every night. But once a year, hey, we could do that, you know.
Right.
And so my point is, why not plan on it and have communion and then watch and pray? And I find that I fall asleep just praying, but if I read like the closing chapters of Christ's life and what he bore for us, it stimulates thoughts and keeps one awake so that one can do it. And I don't believe we'll even have to pray all night, but I believe that Christ said, couldn't you even watch 1 hour? But I think midnight, it was in Egypt at midnight when it comes, and I believe the West Coast is going to have trouble at midnight, you know. So whatever time frame you're in, maybe the whole world will shake. I don't know at this point, but I just do believe that the U.S. will probably feel it.
Amen, amen. I agree. And, you know, when we talk about early morning or whatever time, on the other side of the world, it's, you know, 12 hours later or earlier, depending on how you want to look
right
at it.
So,
right. I mean, morning time over there would be, you know, afternoon time here. You know, I mean, that was one of the arguments against Charles Darwin, you know, when they were promoting his evolution and all that, and the people with, you know, the Christians were fighting it, and they said, well, tell us, God says this happens on this day, what time? And they go, 12 noon. Well, is that, Eastern time, Pacific time, you know, I mean, they were, you know, making fools of the Christians, saying, well, this is going to happen at this time, you know. Well,
yeah.
What time zone?
Well, God knows, and he can sort that out. I'm not too worried about the specifics, but I believe that ultimately this world did not explode off the sun, and the moon did not explode off our Earth. Where's the crater from the moon? How is it orbiting around us, type of thing? And Saturn has 50-some moons, or Jupiter has 60-some moons. Yeah. How did they get all into orbit? You know, God, there are ultimately 1,000 questions that come if you don't believe the Bible.
That's right. I've read, I don't have the statistics in front of me, that, you know, if the Earth was tilted, you know, just a few more degrees, then one side would be a desert and the other side would be, you know, frozen. And if the moon wasn't, you know, was any farther away or any closer, you know, earthquakes, I mean, only God could set something that perfect.
Yes, exactly. In fact, that was the subject of an article in the Reader's Digest about 30-some years ago on scientists, reasons a scientist believes in God is because, you know, that moon, if it was closer, our waves might be tidal waves
right.
in the ocean, et cetera.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, the next one is about the gospel of the kingdom, you know, shall be preached to all the earth. How can that be misunderstood, because he's talking about the end times right there, right?
Yes, but we forget what gospel means, good news, and everybody thinks they knew the good news, Jesus is going to save me, Jesus is going to save me. Well, how is he going to save us is the question. And when God executed judgment on Egypt, he took Israel to a covenant and said, you are my kingdom. And we become a kingdom of his. When we say gospel of the kingdom, it's dominion of a king through his laws, and they accepted his laws at Sinai. He said, if you keep my covenant, you'll be to me a people, a kingdom, rather. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there's a greater depth to understanding his laws and what he wants from us than just, Jesus is going to save me somehow. You know, if we don't do what he says, how is he going to do it, you know,
right?
Basically.
Right. Okay, but, you know, we are talking about, I mean, this day and age is the only time in recorded human history where I can stay in my office, in my house, and preach live on the other side of the world. You know,
amen, amen.
You know, satellite technology, you know, like the two witnesses that will be observed for 3 days by the whole world. And, you know, that was impossible until, you know, satellite television and
yes.
I mean, we are here right now. I mean, there is no doubt about it.
And I believe that that an understanding needs widely to be, you know, that we are going to parallel Egypt's history as God afflicts America for its... Egypt sinned against light. They had Joseph, who had done wonderful things for them, but they enslaved the Israelites. And the U.S. has enslaved nearly all people in alcohol, tobacco, drugs,
pornography,
food, fashion, fiction, greed, gambling, sex, perversion, pornography, all of that. And yet we call it free. You know, we mean is free to sin and die as we wish, but really not until you get to the door of death. And then, people who have mocked God really have bad, unhappy agony of death when they realize they've gone against a destiny that's going to put them in the wrong place.
Yep. I've had several opportunities to talk to people and that, you know, we're dying. And when I get a report of someone who has passed away, and I'll ask their loved ones, you know, I say, how did they pass away? You know, were they peaceful with it and just let it go, or were they fighting, screaming, you know,
You
know, struggling against it? Because one way is like, you know, God, you're in control, here I am. And the other way is like they see the gates of hell opening up, you know, and they're petrified. They're fighting it. And when you correlate their background and their, you know, quote-unquote profession of faith, you see the exact parallel that we're just talking about. And so, yeah, but let's move on. Jesus said that
Elijah had to come first and restore all things, but didn't Jesus later infer that John the Baptist was the representation of the spirit of Elijah and returning? How is that misunderstood?
Well, that part of it is not misunderstood, except that there's an end time Elijah, as suggested by Malachi 4, verses 4 and 5. It's, I will send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, is speaking about end times. And the context of it, verse before that, is remember the law of Moses with statutes and judgments. And this country, this world, let me back up, this country, its Supreme Court, Moses is the central figure over the entrance with holding the Ten Commandments. But they mock the Ten Commandments, and they make 1,000 laws where God made only 10, you know, type of thing, as an index. So, bottom line, we have selfish interest groups that want it their way. We pay farmers to plant tobacco, and then we pay people to health care, you know, type of thing. How can you do? And then we tax the people to pay off all that, you know, where Israel didn't have taxes, you know. So this is not a free society, even though we celebrate our freedoms. We've gone against great light to approve homosexuality and abortion, which has killed the babies. Yeah. Egypt killed babies, and God judged them, and we're due for judgment.
Yep. Oh, we definitely are. We're probably overdue for judgment. Amen.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the last one. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom's at hand. I mean, it's very representative of both the day and hour in which we live, right?
Yes, and I believe if Christ were to be here today, he would say the same words, but they would have different meanings, because the time is fulfilled is a different time. He was looking at Daniel 9, the 70-week prophecy that pointed specifically to Messiah. That's the Greek, the Hebrew word in the text, and he was the Messiah. But I believe that Daniel has an end time application. It was shut up till the time of the end when it would be unsealed, and I believe we get anointed in the end time, okay, for his as his representatives, in a context that will fit right, and it will be. Text in Daniel 9, verse 24 and 25 says, from a decree to restore and build Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Jerusalem is on the verge of, when we talked last time, I thought that might be the next sign, that we would see it at Passover. And it did not happen, and I owe every explanation. And the point is that twice in history, let me first say, if anybody listening can look this text up, Jeremiah 52, verse 12 and 13. It was on the 10th day of the 5th month that Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and burned the house of the Lord. The temple burned on the 10th day of the 5th month. Well, Josephus says it was the same thing in 70 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
Titus came at Passover, mm-hmm. but the siege began, but he didn't get in immediately. And right now, the Muslims that were on the demonstrating each Friday on the border of Gaza, they 7 weeks in a row, and you know, dozens killed and thousands in trouble, mm-hmm. you know. But Erdogan of Turkey calls them all Muslim nations now to unite and to act as one.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not done yet with Jerusalem, and God isn't. I like Dr. Michael Brown in WorldNet Daily, who wrote a response to the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, and he says, "Jerusalem the beautiful, Jerusalem the ugly." And he was, referring to the homosexuality and the other things they have. Hate Christians. Orthodox Jews hate Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And most of them don't even have any faith. They're just genetic Jews, and about 90% of them, they're there because they're Jews, but they don't have any interest in their heritage. And somehow God, you know, says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And God can, and I believe that there's going to be a surprise events regarding Jerusalem, and then he's going to gather his people who really, end-time text, Jeremiah 30, verse 3, God says, I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, and cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers. I believe that currently, what we see in Israel today is premature. mm-hmm. because God said that he would, in Leviticus 25 or 26, I'm not sure which right now, I think it's 26, four times he says, if you walk contrary to me, I'll punish you seven times over. It's in verses 18, 21, 24, and 28. And the point is, Israel did walk contrary, and in Ezekiel 4, verse 5 and 6, it says God asked Ezekiel to lie on his side 390 days for the 390 years that Israel was in apostasy. Mm-hmm. Well, multiply that times 7, and it's 2,730 years. Mm. And the math is not hard because it was 722 when the Assyrians came and took the northern house of Israel, 10 tribes, captive to Damascus or Nineveh. My point is that they were scattered among the nations. Some migrated to Europe. Some later fled the papacy to this country. Israel is diffuse right now. It's not about a country in the Middle East that we call Israel, because the time to return first of all, the UN gave them land, but the UN didn't own the land to give it. It wasn't theirs to give, okay? So it was premature until 2008 or 9, no year zero, so it was 2009. And Pope Benedict, in that year, at Second Passover, went to Jerusalem. And my point is that he represents the system that was assigned to flee. So not free to return, even in 2009, because the Pope went there, and they are strategizing for control of Jerusalem, want to make it a cosmopolitan city so that it's fine for Muslims, fine for Christians, fine mm-hmm. for Jews, etc. Well, God, that's not what God has in mind, I don't think. And ultimately, I believe God's going to have a covenant-keeping people that will include Christians who accept the Bible laws, Torah, and it will include Jews who accept Messiah.
Yeah.
And there's not another way to get to heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God is going to do it for His kingdom, which will grow, and the stone kingdom in Daniel 2 grows to fill the earth. And we haven't seen how that stone is cut out yet, but it says in Daniel 2 that it's cut out without hand, which means no human devising. God's going to do it. And I believe that the events coming, if we understand them, we can be part of God's kingdom.
Well, you mentioned Daniel's 70 weeks, and it's been 70 years now since the UN declared Israel would be a nation again. And
right.
You know, 1 week for each year, that puts us right now at the 70th week or the 70th year.
That's very interesting, and it also puts us, I believe, at the end of 6,000 years, ready to start the seventh millennium, because of chronologies that mesh with this. When the Jerusalem is destroyed, I believe the reapplication of Daniel will occur, and there will be not 70 years, but 70 weeks or a year and a half till we can be part of that. You know, this may sound wild to you, but if you understand the new covenant promise that God is going to put His law in our hearts, we need that. We won't be ready to meet Christ if He were to come in the sky today or tomorrow. Even talking about holy things, you know, unless we have His law written in our hearts, going to heaven, we might lust after somebody. God, we need pure hearts. We need to be right fully, and I believe there's a time of testing, which the last 7 years will do for us. Mm-hmm. And I believe that in that process, in the crucible of heat and trouble, God is going to confirm His law in our hearts, and we will be ready to meet Him. But the context also for this new covenant is overlooked by Christians today, and I'll quote it in two places. Ezekiel, it's easy to remember, 36 chapters, 36, 24 verses. He says, I'll bring you from the heathen and gather you out of all nations, bring you into your own land, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and give you a new heart and put my spirit in you, and you will walk in my statutes and judgments, and you'll dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And he's not talking about America, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, so bottom line, I don't know how we're going to get there, but they didn't when they came out of Egypt either. They even were afraid of the giants, okay? Yeah. And we think, well, how stupid. Why would they be afraid of giants when they had God on their side? They should have trusted him. Well, we're going to get our chance to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may look scary, but I believe that God has a plan and he will do it. He is able to do it. And I just don't know how at this point, but I believe we have to open our minds to the fact that bad things are coming to America, if you can sense anything at all by what's happening in the schools, et cetera. Lawlessness is breaking out, and we are in big trouble, and it's only going to get worse. The best things that I can read say that there will be civil war and big trouble. But I will have to say, let me just say this. There are four signs to flee that Christ said, when you see the abomination standing where it ought not, in Mark, I like Mark's wording, Mark 13, verse 14, and the abomination represents different things. One is that in Leviticus 18, verse 22 to 25, lying mankind with mankind is an abomination, and
amen.
It will cause the land to vomit you out, he says in verse 25. My point is that that the abomination had standing where it ought not in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
They affirmed that, and that's big trouble. That's number one sign, and we've all seen that.
Yeah.
And number two, another abomination is... the early believers understood that to mean foreign military. And in 66 AD, when the Roman army came, that was foreign military, and they fled the city, and they were spared the siege by Titus. But I just watched a YouTube within the past few days with President Trump happy for and praising the UN troops that could help our police to keep peace in Chicago.
Mm.
And
I didn't see that.
Well, go to YouTube and you type in UN and Chicago and Trump, and you'll probably see it. I don't know how I arrived at that, but someone else sent me a link to it, I think. But I'm sorry. I've appreciated Trump so far, but if he's favoring UN in this country as a means, it's we're at the door into trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, in the beginning, when we started talking, we referenced very quickly the great earthquake that you're expecting.
Yes.
We tied it to possibly Hawaii and all that. And I want to talk about the seven seals, about the great earthquake. Can you go into that real quickly as we get ready to close?
Okay. Thank you. In Revelation 6 are the seals. And in the first verse, John hears thunder. He says it's one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to read verse 3, 5, and 7 to see that those are the second, third, and fourth beasts. So number one verse is the first beast. And Revelation 4, 7 says the first beast is a lion. So when John hears thunder, it's the roar of the lion. But Joel 3:16 says the Lord will roar, the heavens and earth will shake.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the Lion of Judah in Revelation 5:5. So the lion will roar, Lion of Judah, and the heavens and earth will shake. I don't know whether that roar will really be the whole world or what, but I'm sure it's going to be not just like another little 5 or 6 or 7 on a Richter.
Right,
I think it's
right.
going to be bigger than that. And that initiates, and it says, come and see, and behold a white horse. And I believe that the white horse represents not the Pope, who wears white, because the papacy is represented as color of scarlet in
it's
Revelation
red,
17. Yes, right. And white is God's symbol of righteousness and purity and so on. And Christ comes on a white horse in Revelation 19. I believe his people come on a white horse, a message of truth, to warn them of the other horses, the red horse of war, the black horse of famine, the pale horse of pestilence and disease, and so on. And so I believe that earthquake comes as a warning and a time when, if it's the earthquake that we are in the wedding parable, we're to not open immediately for a feast of unleavened bread and to consider topics And my contribution to this and belief is that I already mentioned Malachi 4, verse 4 and 5, where it says, remember the law of Moses with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah. I believe that, it's not a belief, it's clear. Anybody turning to Ezekiel 20 can find a sevenfold emphasis of those statutes and judgments. It says statutes, judgments, Sabbath, statutes, judgments, Sabbath, statutes, judgments, Sabbath. And so I believe they are...
Hey, folks, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. We experienced some technical difficulties right at the key moment that we are going to start discussing some great information that you needed to hear. The devil definitely did not want us to get this message out to you, but guess what? The devil's a liar, and we are going to bring Dr. Ruling back on, and we're going to pick up our conversation right where we left it off. We're going to make sure you get this information. I wanted to give you Dr. Ruling's contact information. You go to his website. It's www.thebridegroomcomes.com. And his contact information is there. He's got some special gifts that he gives away. You can go and download some Kindle books and all the links and everything. All the contact information is right there. www.thebridegroomcomes.com. I at least wanted to get on here and give you his contact information because I know that a lot of people have some questions and he's ready for you. Fire away. Amen. Well, we're going to get him back on again at some point in the future, near future. But until then, remember, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau reminding you that you need to be blessed